Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The epistle reading for this day, please be seated. Like many of you, he learned the faith early on. The Christian faith, the one that's passed down from one generation to the next by means of words and sentences and the like. But not just any words will do, any sentences. The Christian faith makes its way from one generation of Christians to the next by means of the Word of God, made up of words and sentences and the like from God, spoken from the mouths of people. And the pastor addressed this day by Paul learned the faith early on by means of words. There is no other way. God adds elements, water, bread and wine. To that he adds the word, and there's no other way. Like many of you, this pastor, Timothy, learned the faith early on, and like you, probably a lot of people were involved in that grand endeavor, but ever how many people were involved in the Christian education of Timothy, St. Paul the Apostle calls out only two of them as worthy of mention in this his letter to Timothy, no last name needed, who's a pastor. Not long into his second of three missionary journeys, Paul first ran into Timothy. Paul and Barnabas had just split up over the issue of whether or not John Mark had come along or not. Barnabas took Mark, headed for Cyprus. Paul took Silas and journeyed to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, many of which had been founded by him. And then over into Asia Minor, think Turkey. And Luke tells us in Acts 16 that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. And which one is it anyway? Well, if you Google Map Derbe to Lystra, Google Maps can't find either one of them, but we know where they were. Those two cities, Derbe and Lystra, are often mentioned together, like you might mention two or more of the five cities that make up the Quad Cities. On Paul's first missionary journey, before that falling out with Barnabas, he had spent some time in that area. They were at another city, Iconium, but people there wanted to kill them. That happened a lot. So they fled to Derbe and Lystra, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they preached the gospel. That's what pastors do. And there at Lystra, Paul healed a man who could not use his feet. And it was after that miracle that these people steeped in Greek mythology deduced that Barnabas must be Zeus and Paul must be the god Hermes because he was the one doing the talking. So convinced was a priest of Zeus that he broke out some oxen. They were fixing to sacrifice to the gods, who explained to them that no, we're not gods at all, but we are just men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news, the gospel. Repent, change. Change from worshiping those dead gods to trusting in the only true and living God. And quote, with these words, they scarcely restrain the people from offering sacrifices to them. And then, talk about your highs and lows, the high highs and low lows, some enemies came and persuaded these same people to stone Paul. They were going to stone him to death, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. But it turns out that the reports of Paul's death were greatly exaggerated, and probably nobody would have blamed Paul at that point had he turned tail. But like the kid on the playground, he gets beat up, he rubs spit in his wounds and goes back after it. He went back into the city with the stoners. He preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, Christians. And that's the only way it happens, by the word. And He chose pastors. Those pastors, it says that he then commended them to the Lord, and off he went down to the Council of Jerusalem. Timothy, no last name needed, was not one of those men appointed by Paul to the apostolic pastoral office. But he would have witnessed that all. He would have known about the reception to the gospel from the mouth of Paul. Likely, Timothy had beheld all that drama with his own two eyes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Question, Timothy. Having seen what it means to be an apostle, why would a nice boy like you ever want to join them in that office? And the answer, of course, is he didn't. Timothy didn't choose to be pastor. And none of us do. And none of us choose the timing of where we're going to go at a particular time and a particular place. We may think we do some choosing, and we do choose a couple things, but we don't, for the most part, choose. We're chosen. And now the Council of Jerusalem over. They decided at the Council of Jerusalem, I have good news, they decided that we Gentiles did not have to become Jews before we become Christians. And then Paul commenced that second missionary journey, the one where he found a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was not. Of Timothy, it says, he was well spoken of by the brethren at the Derbe, Lystra area. And it was Paul who chose Timothy then at that time in that place to go with him, and he journeyed. They journeyed from place to place, but Paul had Timothy. He was an adult now, get circumcised so as not to distract the Jews with that red herring. And as they went, I see a pattern here. They delivered the good news that circumcision was optional, not required, a de facto proclamation of the gospel, and by that word, the churches were strengthened in the faith. You know, it seems to me like these pastors these days spend a lot of time hammering on the word and keeping the word as it's supposed to be. Maybe that's because we do. Because we do. I know I do. And I know that I preach on the gospel text every Sunday morning, and I preach the text, and Jesus spends a lot of time hammering on the word. It's the way that people become and stay Christians, and that's kind of a big deal, Jesus seems to be thinking. Now, that is probably old hat to us, especially to your Lutherans, but it was a very new thing to those people in that time, that place. The Jews in Asia Minor had the Old Testament words, God's word, but all the rest of them, not so much. Things like writing, speaking, teaching, learning about God, things that we do all the time, to them, it was all very new. The pagans, they had their priests, they had their holy places, they had their holy ritual. Not knowing the true God, they did the best that they could. You want to know about God if you're a pagan? Observe man. That's what God looks like. That's why a lot of their gods look like men and not very good men. Want to know the will of God? Well, study the flight of birds. Or just throw the goat intestine on the table and read it. And in modern times, we look at the horoscope. To this day, there is little pagan literature. And the neo-pagans, that's the new pagans. Well, some Germans are building a pagan temple in Sweden. The dog returns to his vomit, leaving the Bible behind. And Paul sort of hammers on it with Timothy, the word. And we'll read some of those things later on. And note how much, when we read those things, of the pastor's task is to handle the word correctly, not sloppily, in its truth and purity. And those must have been heady days, Paul and Timothy and the like, traveling from one place to another. not willy-nilly over here and over there. We read through the book of Acts 2 years ago in our adult Bible class at Emmanuel Grand Mound. That's where I'm the pastor. And a couple things from Acts. First thing is that when they choose Judas's replacement, it sounds like they're throwing dice there to find a replacement for Judas. Actually, what they're doing is they're talking about Judas's portion, Judas's place in the mission field. They didn't just go willy-nilly. They had places to go, and as we watched them go, they did not crisscross. So they're looking for somebody to take Judas's spot. The second thing is that it is the church that sends Paul and the rest here and there. And he reports back to the church. And where Luke talks about the Holy Spirit sending him or not, he means the church, which is, after all, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. No more than the missionaries these days go out willy-nilly, they go out to a particular place. And you wonder how many miles Paul traveled on those three missionary journeys, probably by foot. You wonder, and then you Google it, and the number is 10,000 miles. That's walking from New York to Los Angeles and back, I think, 4 times, or 27 times from here to Chicago and back. And his final destination, the one he longed for, planned for, he made it happen, he ends up in Rome, imprisoned for the sake of the gospel, from which he writes the second letter to Timothy, the pastor. And along with 1 Timothy and Titus, if you want to know what your pastor is supposed to be doing, look at those three pastoral epistles, and there's a lot there. Included is the text you heard earlier today, this morning, including Paul's instructions, and here, quote, follow the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to us by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. More hammering by Paul on the word, guard the truth. And that word's often translated, keep the truth, or keep the word, or in John, keep my commandments, Jesus is saying, obey my commandments. But in all those places, the word is guard. In all those places, one of two different synonymous Greek words for guard. Paul seems to like one word for guard. John seems to like another word for guard. And the King James renders them keep. Keep the word. And that was the right word then. The word keep was the right word then. Not so much now. The keep in King James time, 1611. The keep was the place in the castle that was the last defense. When the outer wall was breached, when the inner wall was breached, then came the keep. And the keep was the place where you kept your most precious and valuable possessions. It was the place where you kept the things you keep in a safe deposit box today. And that's how Jesus tells us to regard the word. The most precious and valuable thing, guard it with your life. So, if you want to know why your pastor keeps hammering on guarding the word, maintaining it in its truth and purity, we get it from Jesus, who said that. And then there was Paul, who got it from Jesus, who passed it to Timothy, the pastor, and Titus, the pastor, several times, and in several different ways. The hymnal calls him Saint Timothy, pastor and confessor, and his feast day is January 24. And the two people mentioned by Paul as noteworthy in passing the faith down to Timothy are his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois. Paul tells Timothy to remember those people who first passed the faith down to you. Remember your faith. Remember the gift of God that is within you by the laying on of hands, whatever that means. And guard the word that has been entrusted to you as the most precious and valuable gift of the church. So the Apostle Paul, to the man he calls my child, in the second of two letters addressed to him and him alone, and no apostle has even written one letter to me. Later on, Paul urges Timothy to remember Jesus Christ and to remind them of this and other things that they probably already know. And there's this pastor David Anderson. Likewise, learn the faith early on by means of words. There is no other way. This pastor learned the faith early on, and like you, probably lots of people were involved in that grand endeavor, including his mother Nancy, his grandmother Florence, and we were blessed also to have our father Lyle, whose name I bear, and our grandfather Cliff, whose name he bears, and throw Grandma Marguerite in there also, and others. A whole slew of teachers, starting with our parents and grandparents. This morning, Jesus told a story, a parable about a servant. Used to be called, you would call it a hired hand, maybe a hired man, work year round, around the family a lot, maybe lived in the same house. You can see houses around here that had a spot in the back for the hired man and his family. These days, we would call that person an employee. The work is seasonal, and he probably has his own house. So, the question Jesus asks, does that man come in from doing field work and expect the farmer to have dinner waiting for him? No. But the owner of the kitchen and the food would tell the employee what he wants to eat, how to cook my steak, and when I'm done eating, then you can eat, and don't forget to clean up. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? No, he doesn't. And when your pastor or any of the pastors do what we're supposed to do, guard the word as the most precious and valuable possession of the church, we don't expect God to thank us for doing what he has sent us to do, and he is the one who does actually the sending. Sure, we decide to go to seminary, and then the church, that is the Holy Spirit, tells us what to do, tells us where to go and when, just like in Acts. First, you got to get the approval of your district president. That would be CID. 30 years ago for him, 30, 40 years ago for me. Then you have to talk to your pastor and get his permission to go to seminary. And my pastor told me that, you know, Steve, there are people who are clearly not qualified to be a pastor, and they named a name, but you're not one of those. And I guess he told my younger brother kind of the same thing a few years later. But he gave his approval. He gave his approval. And those decisions after that are kind of made by other people, the church. You have to get admitted to seminary. Not everybody gets in. You have to do the academic work. Not everybody can. You have to pass vicarage and then do some more academic work, then theological interview. Then you graduate, get a call, and you can then decide if you want to turn down a call or if you want to accept a call, and we don't solicit calls. And that's one very important aspect of what we call the divine call. The divine call. God, working through the Holy Spirit, the church, led you, Trinity Lutheran Coal Valley, to call this particular man, David Anderson, to be your pastor, and God led him to accept that call. And that's soon going to be a done deal. And when that happens, all the conversation about who we should get as our pastor ought to kind of cease. Pretty soon, we'll see that this is God's man in this place and this time. So, Trinity Lutheran Church, welcome to the pastor that God has given to you. And he's a good one, Pastor David Anderson. David Anderson, meet the flock that God has sent you to shepherd, and there are a lot of good people here. And God bless your time together in this time and place for Jesus' sake. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.